Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Unraveling. I'm Lauren Barber, your host for the show. And today I am unraveling with the beautiful Becky Havery. Becky is a dear friend and soul sister who I met on a training. Oh, I can't actually remember how many years ago it was now. 4 or 5 years ago, I think, when we did our training with womb yoga training with Uma Dinsmore Tooley. And we kind of connected on the very first day. And definitely there was like a, I don't know, there was definitely like a soul spark, I think, between us. And we've since then journeyed in different ways on retreats together and always kind of coming back to connect whenever is the right time, I guess. And I feel really grateful to have shared so many moments, actually quite pivotal moments in my life with Becky, actually, you know, on our womb yoga training. That was a very, very transformational space and very tender, very deep. And actually, when we shared a retreat together with our other soul sister, Rebecca Wilson, I was in the first trimester of pregnancy. And again, just having Becky's presence there was just so grounding and supportive for me. So I am very, very grateful to be able to share with her today and unravel together. So I'll just intro you a little bit to Becky and her business, Wild Ways. So Wild Ways is a dream, a passion, and a story about Becky, a mummy, a wife, and a woman trying to find her way. From darkness, she emerged into the light and felt a strong calling to help others step into their truth. From her own experience, she found circle work incredibly healing. Sitting with other women, telling their stories, gave her a voice to express what held her back. Becky has birthed three sacred circles: drumming circle, women's circle, and a cacao circle. And these are a chance for those who are curious to inquire, for those who know their path to be held, for those who need to be seen, a community. Wild Ways will always be a journey, evolving and ever-changing like life itself. Every single one of those words, Becky, I just, yeah, it is like a coming home, and I'm so, so honored to have you here. So welcome.
thank you so much. It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to have a conversation with you. We're so busy, or with the kids and everything. It's just so nice to actually have some time to chat and connect.
Yes, yeah. It is. And I, you know, I really feel like with you, it's like we don't necessarily speak all the time, but then there's just moments like anchor points where we just kind of come back and it's just very natural. I just love that we have that. And I'm watching your journey unfold with such inspiration and such, I don't even know what the words are right now, but just seeing what you're like creating at the moment is just so beautiful. And I'd love for you to, in your own words, just introduce yourself to those who are listening, share a little bit about what's on your heart at the moment, and just kind of, yeah, welcome and land into this space with us.
Thank you. Gosh, right. Well, right now I am in this process of creating these circles. And it's funny because I've always been called to circle work ever since I can remember kind of beginning this journey. And I remember going to my first circle, and it was a red tent, and I was absolutely terrified, and I didn't really comprehend what was going on. I didn't really understand what was going on. But I felt really called to be there, not understanding why. And I walked out thinking, oh my God, what has just happened? And then I went to another red tent in Leeds and felt really awkward. And then we started making yonis out of fabric. And I was really kind of like, oh my God, what am I doing? I honestly just couldn't process what was happening. But again, it felt really right, even though I think it was my mind. So my heart was really in it. My mind was freaking out completely. And since then, as I've kind of, done courses, like with you, and sat in circle. I mean, at Una's, there was, I don't know how many women there was there, maybe 30 or 40.
Mm.
That was insane. That amount of women in a room, in a hall, was the energy, it was wild. But, and it's funny because I've never felt, and this is, I think, from myself, I've never felt, what's the word I'm looking for? Like at home in a group of women, in a situation of friends. And that's not any of, you know, any fault of anybody. I think that's just me. I felt really uncomfortable. You know, I have lifelong friends and I love them dearly, but while I was growing up, I just didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. It was really strange. So being called to a group of women was even weirder, that I was like, I don't really like, you know, sitting with women makes me feel quite uncomfortable, but it's a different social space. So with the courses and with doing my Reiki and going on retreats and sitting with women and sharing and the healing that takes place, the women who open their hearts, gosh, it was so healing for me as well, just listening to their stories. So I've tried a few various paths, and I think mostly they were through fear. You know, I did things because I felt I should, because I'd done my Reiki course, so I needed to be a Reiki healer. And then I made tea, and I really enjoyed doing herbal tea, but it just took a lot of effort and energy. And then this just landed with me. You know, it was like, I think at the beginning of the year, I was very much, you have to wait, bide your time. You need to sit in the darkness. You need to listen to your body and wait. And so I did. And that's the first time I've ever really done that. And then it just came. And it's just flowed ever since. And it's been amazing. So I've just created three circles. Not me. I mean, these circles have been around for thousands of years. But I just feel like there's a new way of being. It doesn't mean to say that you can't still socialize like we always do. But when you step into circle, you kind of cross a threshold into a sacred space, as I call it, and everyone kind of just, all the energy calms, and it's a really beautiful thing, and a community is formed, even if it's for an hour and a half. These women who sit in circle, and my circles aren't, my women's circle is obviously for women, but the drumming and the cacao are open to anybody, but it tends to be women who are called to this. So this is the beginning of my sacred journey.
I love that, you know, speaking to you at the beginning of this journey, which feels very potent, I have to say. And I loved what you were saying about kind of being at the beginning of the year and just being called to wait and to pause in that void. And then I think that space is really underrated. And it sort of happened to me last year with all of my work and my, you know, creating the heart work and the studio and the creative side of things and the website and the branding, because I literally had to just, I felt like it was actually my nervous system that stopped me and just was like, no, you have to pause. You have to be in this void. You have to be in this space of waiting, like strip away everything else and then see what happens. Mm-hmm. And actually what did happen was just this almost effortless flow of just steps that just kind of materialized, and then they just felt right. And it sounds like that was similar. And I think it's a really uncomfortable place to be in, that space of waiting, because society does not celebrate pauses. Society wants us to move at a million miles an hour, and it's like, oh, there's this sense of lack and scarcity, and like, oh, well, if you don't act on this now, maybe someone else is going to do the same thing. Or there's all this, as you were saying, it's like it coming from fear. Yeah. And to actually pause and lean back and drop back into the heart and the body at that time where you know that, like, something's shifting, something's happening. It's like, it's the most powerful, but also probably the hardest thing to do. Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Because I've never, I remember when I, and gosh, I feel terrible for this, but I remember that when I did my kids' yoga teacher training, which was the first, my first kind of training that I did on this path, because that's where I found yoga basically, was when I was a teacher at a nursery school in London, and they had this kids yoga and it was awesome. So when I moved up here, I found a teacher training. I was like, this is what I want to do. And after the training, one of the girls who was on the course had started this kids yoga in Harrogate on Facebook. And I was like, oh my God, I've got to do it now. I have to do it now. If I don't do it now. And I put it out there, and I felt so sorry for the girl who was in the same situation. I don't know, I've met her since, I think, but that's where it came from. It came from this awful place of fear. And exactly what happened was that I put so many classes on. And at that point, well, I had three young children, probably under the age of seven. And I completely, my nervous system just went, you need to stop. And I carried on. And then I just went, Joe, my husband was just like, that's enough. That is enough. And I realized then that because it had come from fear, my body wasn't ready. My nervous system definitely wasn't ready. And I pushed and pushed against the flow. And I think that's what feels different now. It's that I'm moving with it. I totally agree with that. This place of fear and the waiting. But I knew, actually, I think it's been different recently because of, you know, the restrictions we've had on us. So actually waiting has been a little bit easier. But at the same time, you know, nobody wanted, obviously, that waiting time. But maybe, it was needed. And sitting with it was the only thing that I could do, actually, because I couldn't go out anyway and do anything. So,
yeah, sort of almost enforcing the pause. And I do think that, you know, I think the last 2 years has cultivated a fraction more patience within me. you know, there are times where I'm really frustrated and impatient, but actually is sort of surrendering to the fact that actually action can't be taken in the ways that we would have normally done it. And I think that has probably forced a lot of people to actually be a little bit more aligned with what their path that they're on, because actually there was nothing that could be done. So waiting was the only option. And it's, you know, not through obviously a choice, but just that's just been the way of the last couple of years. And it certainly slowed me down, not in a bad way. Like, it slowed me down and made me take greater time before I jump into things. But I also think motherhood has done that for me as well, because there's just, you know, like the energy that I used to have before having Sophia, which, you know, like I had endless amounts of time, really. Like I could pour everything in, all my energy could go into my work and my creations, and that's just not possible now. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think actually it's caused me to really focus very carefully and be much more conscious about what I do create, and making sure that it does feel right rather than doing it from fear, because I kind of almost can't afford to have a burnt out nervous system and frazzle myself again like I've done in the past. And what you were saying about this, you know, that is what happens when we act from that place of fear, and we might not even know we're doing it. And I think we have to probably go through it several times to recognize it in with ourselves. But when we are coming from that place, like the end result will always be an enforced stop, I think, eventually. Yeah. If some shape or form, whether it's the business not flowing, whether it's our bodies, whether it's like mental health, like it, there will be an enforced stop at some point. So I guess anchoring back.
Yeah, into, and I think that that's how I started this journey, because my body was on high alert the whole time. We were living in London, and we were moving back up to Yorkshire, and I don't know what it was in that move that created, I don't know if it was coming home, because Yorkshire is my home. Mm. But something in that move stirred up something within my body, and I started to get panic attacks, and I started to live from a place of fear, and I'd see things that weren't actually a fearful thing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, out of the shadows or whatever. I'd be like, you know, on high alert the whole time. And you know, I even was at a wedding, and in the first hymn in a church, full church, I stood up and I ran out, you know, down the aisle, out of the building. I couldn't cope. My body was I always feel that it was this Kali energy, you know, the goddess Kali, who's like fiercely protective and nurturing, but she will come and she will just shake you. And I think there'd been warning signs, but hadn't taken any notice. And then at that point I was like, oh my gosh, something isn't right. This carried on for years, this whole process of trying to figure out what was wrong. And I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, lupus, and a blood disorder as well. And I think that was from, you know, what was happening within my body. Everything was going haywire and created. And that's just my opinion, and that's just my story. And that was a shock. And then I was like, oh my gosh, my body is now malfunctioning, I suppose. And I need to do something, because I don't want to be on drugs. You know, they offered me all sorts of drugs, and I was like, there's nothing physically wrong with me. I don't have, you know, the rash of lupus, or I don't have, because it can affect any part of your body. I don't have any symptoms. I'm really lucky. I don't want to start taking drugs. So let's just see if I can fix myself. And that's when I brought in the meditation and the yoga and nutrition and diet, and that changed my life, really. Yeah. Mm. So listen to your bodies. Really important.
Yeah. Really important. Absolutely. And I think I think there are similarities in our journey, in that probably in many of our, like many people listening as well, like there's usually some pivotal point of awakening. And for me, it was also health. Like it was also my physical body. It was like I'd spent so long not listening and not connected to my physical body, or connected but not in a healthy way, you know, like obsessing about what it looked like, or obsessing about my weight, or excessively exercising so that it, like I looked a certain aesthetic, you know, like I was connected to my body, but in a very unhealthy way. And it was only when I started to like look at it from the roots, and like, to me, that is the nervous system, and it is like coming back to those like to creating a really strong foundation. Because I think without that, like everything is unstable. So it's, you know, for me, it's been every process I've been through, you know, like I had my, like when I had my hypothalamic amenorrhea and didn't have my bleed for 4 years, to like last year getting a diagnosis of Hashimoto's, so an autoimmune as well. Like all of it, every time, like the solution, yes, I have, you know, I do take medication for the thyroid, but I also am doing a lot of other things to support myself. And I think that fundamentally for all of the things that have happened, it's always come back to nervous system at the bottom. And then when we kind of start to get that a little bit more tended to, I think when we're proactively, because I really, what's coming through to me recently is like meditation, yoga, you know, nature, whatever your practice is, it's great. But if you only do it when you're in the thick of it, it's literally, it might skim the top of the surface off, but it's not gonna, it might kind of just about hold you together. And I felt like I was spending the last few years like on this kind of very fragile, sort of on the edge, like I was just holding it together. And it was only when I started to actually really proactively return back to like daily non-negotiable meditation, yoga, you know, coming back to my body, just being with my body, not needing to bend into pretzel shapes or anything, but just actually spending time with my body and listening. It's only then that I now am like, oh, actually, I remember what it was like to not be on that edge feeling, that fragility. Like it's like, oh, I can handle things better. I kind of went on a ramble there, but
no, but also and no, but it's important because, you know, and resting when, and this is something that I'm really proactive about, is resting and resting, because I mean it's so difficult, you know. I've had three children, you know, near enough 2 years apart, so they were all very young at one point. It's getting easier now, but you know, instead of when they're asleep doing the washing up, I wish I'd just rested. But you feel guilty, you feel that guilt of, oh god, the house is a mess, and oh god, this and this. But actually, we can't be on the go all the time. It's just not in our makeup. And especially as a woman, you know, especially as a woman, resting is like the most, I would say, the number one fundamental thing that you should do. And you can rest and listen to a meditation, or you know, for me, there's a signal on my body, I either get like a really funny sore throat, like it's just like this funny kind of thing comes on, and I'm like, oh okay, I either need to have a really lovely salt bath, or I need to just go to bed at 6 o'clock and the kids are fine. But you know, I think it's putting boundaries in place as well, and making sure that you look after yourself, because if you do have children, or if you have a busy life, that you have the ability to say no, and you have the ability to say, actually, mummy's really tired, I'm sorry I'm a bit grumpy, but I really need you to go to bed now because I want to get in bed, you know, and not to let them see you not vulnerable, but you know, in a position where, you know, mummy's tired, isn't she? Yeah, well, she needs to go to bed, so she needs to be looked after, or, you know, I don't know. But it's really important that they see that within you, so they can do that for themselves, and they can look after themselves. But yeah, I believe that for our nervous systems to, because this world is so fractious and delicate at the moment, that to be, to be strong, we need to rest. You know, it's like night and day. It's like light and dark, isn't it? It's like anything.
And I think what I'm finding really interesting, like at the moment, is like actually kind of unpicking all of those beliefs around rest or pausing or just doing nothing, and just sitting. And actually, like, I'm really conscious that I am modeling that for Sophia, because we, you know, like, I don't remember having like much modeling for rest. You know, who teaches you how to rest and pause, or just to sit and do nothing? And there's, you know, this desire to constantly be entertaining, or keeping occupied or distracting or whatever it is. And I think actually, you know, naturally children do just take pauses, don't they? But like, it might be very fleeting, but Sophia's almost teaching me how to be okay with that and actually to honor that. And there are days where I'm just like, I don't want to book anything in. I just want to have like a morning where we don't have to be anywhere, and we can just completely flow with, like, we can sit and we can read books, or we can just sit. Like sometimes we just, you know, we'll go outside and we'll just go and sit and watch the lake. And I actually, I want her to see that as a as part of life, rather than, oh, we constantly have to be being productive or doing something, or we have to, or I have to always be entertaining you, otherwise, you know, I'm a bad mother, you know, like the, all these stories. It's interesting how, yeah, how they, like Sophia is kind of teaching me that again, even though before I had her, I was very, I was pretty good at resting. Like I had a daily like yoga nidra practice, and you know, although maybe even in that, even that was like had a sense of doing to it.
I think you are resting in that. Your body is resting anyway in nidra, you know, your mind is resting. But yeah, and I always have, for me, because I'm an early bird, so I like getting up early. And I like going to bed early.
Yeah, me too.
So for me, my practice, and as the children have grown up, is that I go and sit in a particular place in our house, and I light some candles. And I mean, at the moment and now, I'm on my cacao journey, so I always have a cacao first thing in the morning. And I just check in with myself. I connect to the earth, I connect to my heart. And if the kids wander in, they know that that's what I'm doing, so they don't disturb me, but they always come. And I'm, you know, Lily will come, who's my youngest, who's eight, she'll come and like sit or lie on me as I'm sitting there and have a hug. And she might come and lie with me and pick some cards or whatever, but they know that that is what I do. And I hope that in them seeing me have some of that time and connection, and you know, I'm sure they call it witchy stuff that mommy does or whatever, but you know, that's my boundary. This is like, this is mommy time before you go to school, and this is what I do. And I've tried to do yoga every morning, and I'm a yoga teacher, and you know, I push against that. I'm like, I have to do it, I have to do it, I have to do it. And my body's like, no, you don't, no, you don't, you don't need to do that.
Have you found that like those kind of sacred rituals, because you know, I think we can, you know, that those are our, like our anchors for the day. Have you found that those like evolve and they change, and as you like in your, with your inner seasons, like, and I don't mean just necessarily like the kind of the smaller inner seasons as in like our cycles or the moon cycles or whatever, but I mean that like kind of concept of inner seasons in our life, because for me, like I'm actually returning to that morning yoga practice, and I'm like looking forward to it. And I haven't had that for a long, long time. In fact, I haven't really had that since before I became a yoga teacher, weirdly. And it's like honoring those seasons. Like I feel like I'm in a spring energy at the moment. And I feel like pregnancy and the first few years of Sophia's life have been like, they were like a winter. I mean, there was a big autumn in the lead up to pregnancy, a very big long autumn of a lot of releasing and a lot of like shedding layers. And then I kind of went into this winter, and I now feel like those shoots of spring coming up. And the rituals and the daily practices, like they have changed and shift and kind of evolve. Do you find the same thing happens?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I think right now I'm in that, I don't know, because I really love the dark. So I like the dark. So I love winter. I'm a bit, the bright sunshine of summer kind of scares me a little bit, and I don't know why. But yeah, so I'm one of those people that I love to just be in the darkness and light the candles and see that sort of light. I'm not someone to open the curtains in the morning and be like, wow, it's so sunny. I'm like, oh my god, that's too much, shut the curtains, let's light a candle instead. I've had times like you when I've really, really enjoyed doing yoga. It's times when I don't do anything and I've just got up, you know, and had breakfast and, you know, left the house, or walking, or going for a walk every morning. And then times when I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered. But yeah, I think we have to honour that within us. And, you know, it's important that if we feel that something isn't right, that we don't feel like we have to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have, what are your like non-negotiable kind of, like even like maybe mini rituals or mini kind of sacred moments throughout the day? You know, like for example, I, every single morning without fail, I open the windows and I just take 3 breaths out of the, like out of my bedroom window, looking at the sky and like, and kind of checking in with the weather, you know, like checking in with what's going on environmentally, and also just kind of giving myself those 3 breaths just to pause, no matter what else is going on. That's like one of my non-negotiables. But do you have, what other little, you know, rituals do you weave into your day?
So if I'm working like at a desk, like trying to get, you know, lessons planned or circles, you know, social media stuff done, always on my desk, I light a candle. I always have the elements. So I have some water and a stone, what else? Oh, and a candle and a feather or some incense or something. And I have those kind of dotted around my house as well. So I'll always have like a little place where I remember, I recognize, and it's there. You know, in the kitchen on our island unit, I've got like a little tile with a photo of my dad because he passed away about 15 years ago. So it's like this little photo of him and some feathers and some crystals and, you know, that sort of stuff. And then in the morning, like you, I go outside and I do the, so I tap my body or I shake or I breathe in air to let the dog out. And as I do that, I, you know, this crazy woman on her steps of her house. And then at nighttime, I always have, I have done for a while, actually, the you know, the womb massage. I forgot what you call it. But, you know, where you, like, massage your stomach. And that's just me connecting into, number one, it just helps with everything, pelvis, tummy and everything. But it's also just a way of me connecting with my body as well. Does that make sense? You know, and I've just started actually doing sun salutations in the morning. Although I said I didn't do yoga, I do like 3, 2, 6, depending on how I'm feeling and how strong I'm feeling. It just brought that into my routine. I'm enjoying that as well. Yeah. Mm. So I don't have any specific things that I do every day, but I always do my ritual in the morning. That is like, you know, even if we go away, I will take with me a mini altar. I'm not sure in what, but I'd take a mini altar with me and I will have that so that I can come down and I have, even if just a little candle, that's my sacred time. That's where I connect to everything. And I think for me, first thing in the morning, some people might do it at night, but for me, first thing in the morning is the best time to do it.
I agree. I think I like having little things like to bookend the day, I suppose. Yeah. Like in the evenings, like it's gratitude. I always write down gratitude before I go to bed because I always think like that's a nice way to finish the day. And actually I've been going to bed earlier and just taking time to do a meditation. And to, like I have one of those, I can never say the word, gua sha, like crystal facial.
Oh, the gua sha. Things, yeah. Yeah.
And just even just like putting some facial oil and just rubbing that into my skin, like I think something that connects you with your body before bed is really powerful, because it's like almost this, like if I feel a little bit anxious sometimes, because I don't sleep amazingly, so sometimes going to bed can be a bit anxiety inducing because you kind of worry about, you know, what the night's going to bring. But actually whenever I do take that time to like to just softly like gently kind of massage my face or with some oil or use that tool or just touch my body in some way, it really like drops me back to the present. I think it's a really good, so I think probably similar to you with the womb massage, it's like it's a grounding, isn't it? Because it brings us back from the head and everything that's gone. It's like right now, right here. And sometimes it's uncomfortable because you might notice like tender spots or, you know, you might feel a little bit sore or stiff or achy. And I guess that again, with the yoga in the morning and the sun salutations, it's like, it's kind of meeting yourself where you're at. And each day is obviously going to be different. But I think just, I mean, sun salutations are perfect because you can actually, like, you can make them really invigorating. You can make them super gentle. It is like an all over body, like, wake up, isn't it? It's a really beautiful, I mean, obviously there's a reason why it's called sun salutations, but, but yeah, I love that. Just that kind of, I think, returning to the body as much as possible, because in our busy lives, we spend so much time in our head, so much time rushing, so much time future thinking and planning and organizing and kind of, you know, trying to control things and be like not where we are right this minute. So as many moments as coming back to the body as possible.
And I think a lot of the time we're disassociated from ourselves. So we're actually, it's almost like we're a mirror and we've smashed and we're just like floating, you know, we're in the future and maybe we're in the past and some of us is still at work and some of us is, you know, with the kids and some of us is cooking and actually by touching ourselves, which is, you know, something that, you know, we can do. I've learned that because I have been disassociated massively, and bringing my hands to my own body has been a really hard thing to do. But yoga has actually taught me that, you know, you can touch yourself, you know, even if you just place your hands on your heart, gosh, I'm not talking about massaging yourself, you know, just placing your hands on your heart or your womb space. But yeah, this disassociation, and actually we just, by touching ourselves, placing our hands on our bodies, we bring, well, as many of those pieces back as we can, and just breathing into that. And maybe you can visualize that and like go, come on, come back. We're here now. Yeah. We're doing this.
Kind of like metal coming. Like, I'm kind of visualizing it as like a shattered mirror, and then like imagining everything kind of melting back and like calling all those fragments back into the body.
Yeah.
Like back to this, like the center. Like, I love that. I'm going to use that.
I think, and I think that we all have our stories, and we all have, you know, that kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Everyone has a story, even if you have been working with someone for the whole day, your stories are going to be completely different. So I think that we need to kind of bring ourselves back to, I don't really know what I'm trying to say there, but I just had this vision of stories and just stories being different.
Well, our perspectives are also unique, aren't they? You know, we'll experience every single thing so differently. You know, some people will experience something like in a very surprising way. You know, some people will experience something quite negatively. Some people might experience it as a learning curve, or, you know, like there's lots of different perspectives, isn't it? And I think that, I actually do think that, like, quite often does come back again to the nervous system and how we're programmed to like how we're literally like wired, I suppose, to actually deal with stresses or deal with challenges and things like that. And so I think, yeah, I love that idea of just calling back all those pieces of you that are sort of floating around, and it makes you feel very discombobulated, doesn't it? Because you're literally, your energy is scattered. And something I've been really working on recently is like the kind of my actions stemming from past patterns and past experiences, and like that's like, it's kind of like rewriting the story and letting go of those past experiences and not letting them then shape what like happens in the now or what happens future. But it's been, you know, the last couple of years I've been really unraveling that pattern of anxiety, and particularly for me, I have a lot of anxiety around food and around eating and around feeling unwell and things like that. And so it's like, it's having to choose in each moment to be like here now and not in that old story. Does that make sense? So I think I don't even know why I'm bringing that up, but it just felt like it's just something that I'm unraveling at the moment, is this addiction to old stories and old narratives and how much they shape, and like actually choosing whether you're feeding those old stories, or are you choosing like right now what your experience is, and actually right now maybe there isn't, like, you know, right now there is no anxiety in me, but it's like, oh, but one time when I did that I felt anxious, so now that means that this time it's going to happen again. So it's like, yeah, unpicking that. So but
stories are, they're who we are, you know. I've spoken to you know, people about how I saw something in my past, and that person has said, no, it didn't happen like that, this is what happened. I'm like, God, I don't remember it happening like that, you know. And so what we see to what someone else sees is different. And I think so unraveling your story and how you might see that story now, or how you might, you know, if you, it's like, what could you tell your younger self? Mm-hmm. You know, what advice could you give her? I don't know. I think I love stories, and I love that stories heal people. I love that by telling your story that you just mentioned, that will have an effect on somebody and they'll think about that. And I suppose in a way it doesn't really matter what someone else saw your story as, because this is what you saw. That's really, really important, because actually that's how I felt, and at that moment we had an argument and you saw it like this and I saw it like that, and actually it's okay that I didn't agree with you. Because, you know, I just love that work there, and it works in the circles and people telling their stories. Just voicing, giving voice to things. It's really, really important. And I think that's part of healing.
That's one of the things that I love about Circle, is that, you know, you can go out with a group of friends and you can, yes, you could share something, but half the time someone's talking over you, or you're having to fight to get your voice heard, or somebody's, you know, like then tries to throw some advice at you, or, you know, like it's not really a safe space to share those stories. And I think that's what, for me, is missing, is like a space to be heard and to be witnessed and to witness and hear other people without that like that fixing attitude, or without having to, you know, feeling like you know you need to jump in and to, you know, offer anything. It's like actually just the purity of those stories, like that in itself, like that's what I love about Circle, is it reminds us of, you know, it's a very safe space to just express and not feel like you're going to have someone like jump in and tell you that, oh yeah, like they've experienced that exact same thing. And, you know, like there's so much dialogue in like general life. I think that's the beauty, is it's the quiet. It's that.
Yeah.
It's a peacefulness, isn't it, in Circle?
Yeah. Because so I think there are a lot of women out there who are curious about Circle, but are fearful to come to Circle. And that's okay, because actually you might not be ready to sit with other women. But what I always say is that you don't have to speak. You just need to speak your name. You never have to say anything. You can just listen. And actually in listening is that there's healing as well. But the concept of a circle, no beginning, no end, no first, no last, no judgment, no opinion, silence, and the pause again is really welcome in Circle. Nobody needs to say anything, you know, we can just sit here. And then what I've found is that people who maybe don't want to come to the women's circle may come to the like drumming, where self-expression is through your voice or your drum. And you can, you know, or rattle, whatever, you can just express yourself in that sense, and that's really healing. I mean, crikey, I've had some really vivid dreams after drumming. You know, really, like, I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I didn't even think that drumming could do that to you. But yeah, it's a beautiful space. There's different ways that you can commune without having to have that sitting around the table with a cup of coffee, like you say. You know, you just want to be witnessed, you just want to be heard, you just want someone to hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, and they may be joyful or they may not be, but it's just that expression of, and it's powerful, and in that there's this power and there's courage. And you don't, you know, if someone is finding something really upsetting, you don't touch them, you don't put your hands on them and say it's going to be okay, because in fact you're stopping their healing, you're stopping those cleansing tears from falling. You just allow for them to, yeah, just to sit in that space, shed those tears, and let go of whatever it is. I'm so grateful that, you know, I get to be in that space with women who are brave enough to speak. So lovely.
What really called you to facilitating circles? Like, what do you like? Because for me, I feel like there's almost a bit of conflict in me, because it's like my heart and my body is like, this is an absolute yes, like there's no way I can't do this. But then the mind comes in and is like, yeah, but you know, people don't get it, or people won't come, and you know, all of that. And actually, you know, I've all the circles I've held have always had the, you know, the people that have shown up have been the exact right people for that circle, and people are drawn to it. But there's almost this sort of, I don't know, I guess I'd love to know from your point of view, like, what is it that calls you to facilitating circles so, so deeply?
Oh gosh, well, I have no idea why this work is, there is, that it sounds really bizarre, but I think, you know, it is almost like there is someone behind me kind of pushing me into it, and they've been there for a very long time. This is like, this is your path, this is where you need to be. Maybe you're not ready yet, but this is, I'm just showing you. And so my heart was really in it. My yoga that I was teaching changed to, I called it sacred yoga, but it was like a women's circle with some movement in it, basically. And the women who came, and I was like, oh, we better do a bit of yoga now. And they were like, oh no, let's just carry on what we, you know, and we're just chatting. But then what really helped was that I knew that my heart was in it, but my mind was like, no, you don't know how to facilitate, you don't know how to market, you don't know how to, you don't know what rules and regulations, you don't have training, da, da, da. This was going on here. And then I spoke to you, I think, and you'd mentioned Gemma, Sister Stories. So I looked into that, and I started that training in January, and I'm probably about halfway through, I think. And it has made my mind, and I said it at the beginning of the training, you know, she asked everyone why we were there, and I just said, for me, it's so that my mind has got something to fix onto, to say, yeah, this, you can do this, because yeah, you've got training. You know, it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
It is, when you think, like, actually, this is like an innate part of our ancestry. But I totally get it. You know, there's this need to tick a box to almost feel safe enough to do it.
Yeah. And so that has actually settled my mind. So my mind is now not chattering on at me. And then I think, I just knew I had to do it, and it was the right time, and I just started putting it out there. And yes, you know, social media is a great tool to put stuff out there, and it has had an impact on who's coming and who's seen it and who's messaged me and everything like that. But word of mouth is as strong as anything. You know, and I have this thing about doing online stuff still, so I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. I'm doing a little tester on Friday, and I've only got two people booked on, and I think that shows how I'm resistant to it. But these women who are coming seem really lovely, so I'm just gonna go ahead with it, because then I think it will flow better. But yeah, there is a resistance to online work, but I know it's really important. But I think that Circle is a really, really special place. It's a really special place for me, and I'm honored that I can facilitate it, but I get as much out of it as everybody who goes. So I don't know why I do it.
I'd love that though. I think it's like, it is literally like this, it is like a magnetism, like it's like something pulling you into it. And yeah, I think that is just such a beautiful way of creating, you know, just purely from the heart and from this, like from a body, you know, it's an embodied way of showing up and doing our heart work. And yeah, I love that. And I'm just so excited to see how it evolves for you. You know, knowing already, like I can see, I've seen like that shift and that, like you rising into that space, even just in the last few months, and just to think like in a year's time where that could take you. I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, me too. I can't wait to see where it goes, and I can't wait to just offer this to more and more women, you know, hopefully on retreats and things. So thank you.
Before we finish up, can you tell people where they might find you, connect with you, how they can discover what your magical offerings are, maybe read a bit more?
Yeah, so I have a website, which is wildways.org.uk. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook as My Wild Ways. Yeah, you can get in touch with me there. And all my classes, they're not classes, they're circles, are on the events and bookings and things. So I'm hoping when my heart kind of breaks free of this, you know, online stuff, that I'll be able to offer more online. But I know that there'll be retreats coming up. There's definitely one retreat in October, with a great friend of mine, and that'll be in the Lake District, so that's open to everybody. It'll be amazing. Can't wait, I'm so excited.
That one speaks very deeply to me.
And it's right, the place that we've hired looks over Lake Coniston. It's just beautiful.
There is something so incredibly powerful about the Lake District as well. Okay, well, I hope that people will flock to find you and connect with you, and I'm sure that people, if you're feeling the call to circle in any way, then even if it's, you know, if it's not with Becky, then just, you know, seek out somebody in your area. They're almost like a bit of an underground thing, aren't they? Like women's circles, you have to kind of dig a little. But I feel like when you're supposed to be to go to one, like they surface, and you know, if you're listening to this, then this might even be the call to actually go to a circle. So thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you. And yes, and to everyone, find a circle, go and sit with women and commune and speak, and let's just all kind of rise.
And imagine if our daughters grow up in women's circle? Like, what could that, like, and I think how powerful it's been for me to find it, you know, in the last, I don't know, 5 years, for example, like to grow up with that, like that to me is almost like that's kind of the legacy, I suppose, if you want to look at it, if you want to word it like that, you know, like how incredible, like it doesn't, you don't have to be facilitating it, but just to be aware of it and to kind of, for it to be on their radar. Like, yeah. I don't know. It just feels like a really powerful and potent time in the world to be existing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of work to be done.
Oh yes.
But this is like the beginning, and I'm so privileged to be here, I think.
Thank you so, so much for your time, Becky. It's been such an honor. And if anybody wants to reach out with Becky, then please get in touch with Becky. I'll put all her details in the show notes. And if you want to get in touch with me, if anything has come up through this podcast episode that you want to share or want to just get in touch, then you can find me at Lauren Sarah Barber on Instagram, or you can email me at lauren@laurenbarber.co, or just get in touch. And if this episode has struck a chord with you and you feel really called to share with friends or someone else, then please do share and tag me and Becky if you listen to it on Instagram. Let us know what lands and what you've taken away from it. So for now, thank you so much, everyone. I'm so grateful to share this space for you, and I'm so appreciative that you have devoted your time to listening to our conversation, and I will see you next time.